So, okay, Beis Daf Yud Aleph. We're on top of that. We're not on top of that. We're the bottom of Yud on the Beis. Right by the bottom. So, Antonina Shimshei Lerebi. Antonina was Mishamesh Rebbe. Okay, and Ad Rechon, who was also a minister from the Umas Olam, Hishamshei Lerab. He was Mishamesh Rab. Tishach of Antoninus, when Antoninus died, Amar Rebbe said, Nisparda Chavila, the connection between us has been broken. I know, the Ben Yehuda says, don't think that just like we were connected in this world, we're going to be the same connection in the world to come. It's the connection has been severed. And Ad Rechon died, Amar Rab, Nisparda Chavila. Also, the bond has been broken. Now we learn about Onkelos. Onkelos bar Klonimus Igaya. He became a convert, and he's Targum Onkelos. Shudder case, and I think he was the nephew of the Caesar. Who? Jesus? So Shudder Caesar Gunda de Romoya Basrei. So the Caesar, he's saying is Titus. The Titus was the Caesar. So it's after the Korban, the Titus became emperor after the Korban. Right, but he wasn't Caesar at the time, was he? He was a general. I don't think he was Caesar yet. Okay. So Shudder Kesar Gunda de Ramoya Basrei. So he sent a garrison of soldiers to get Unculus to bring him back. Shemashkinu Bekroi. So Unculus started talking to Mithor, he started learning the brushes of Sukkim with them. The Igayur, and he converted all of the soldiers. Question is though, what do you mean? We don't go out and try to be Messiah Goyim. That's not what we do. We don't proselytize like other religions. So some say maybe it was Pikuach Nefesh. They want to get him. Other answers are how we want it. Maybe they asked first, so he answered the questions. Fine. Hadashad Gundar Maya Yachrin Abasrei. So Caesar sent another garrison of soldiers to get him. And Amalu, and the Caesar told the soldiers, Lo Tamerle Lo Midi. Don't talk to him, because maybe he'll convince you to convert also. So the soldiers came and they took Unkelos. Ki habu shaklu v'azlu. When they were walking out, Amar lehu. So Unkelos said to the soldiers, right? Eimu lechu milsa b'yama. Let's just talk. We won't talk in Torah. We'll just stand there. We'll shoot the breeze. Let's just talk. So he says, Nif yora nakit nura kane pitora. Like the sergeant holds the candle for the person above him, right? Naka Nura Kamekipura Pipora, who's the next level, he holds it on behalf of the Dukasa, which is the minister. And the Dukasa holds it for the Hegmonia, which is like the governor. And the Hegmona holds it for the Koma. He holds the governor, holds it for the king. Koma mi Naka Nura Mikami Inche. Is it possible that the king holds the candle on behalf to light up for the subjects? Does the king do that on behalf of the subjects? So they said, Amalin, well, no, king's the king. He doesn't do anything for it. He's not. He's above everybody. So Amalin, so Unkelos says back to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Naka Nura Kamei Yisrael. Now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he holds and he lights up the path on behalf of his nation, showing how beloved Klal Yisrael is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'nei Yisrael HaMitzrayim, V'Hashem HaLeich Lefnehem Yomam, right, V'amun Onan, V'am Chos HaMaderach Alayim, V'amun Eish Lahari Lehem. So you see how beloved Bnei Yisrael is to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Igari Kulo, and they all converted again. Which is interesting. He's showing the Goyim how beloved Bnei Yisrael is to God right after the Chorban, when God basically just was tested upon him. Interesting. Okay. So next case. So Igari Kulo. So Hadar Shadar Gundu Afrin Abasrei. So the Caesar sends a third time a bunch of soldiers to go get his nephew. Amar lehu, and the Caesar says to them, Lo tishto midi b'hadei. Don't speak to him at all. Don't say anything. Don't talk to him. Go in, grab him, go out. That's it. He nafi le ba'azle. So when they had a hold of him, and they were walking out. Chazer mezuzusa, the manchasa apisra. So Unkelos saw the mezuzah hanging on the doorpost. Osev yodei Allah, and he put his hand on the mezuzah. This is the source. This is the source that we have, not the kistimuz. The kistimuz comes from the Ari. This is the source you have. It's the touchimuz on the way in and on the way out. It comes. It's not really in so much of the Rishonim, but it's brought a lot. It's brought down by the, I think the Ramah, The Darkei Moshe quotes the Maharil, who says, Harotza Leilev Chutz La'ir, want to go outside, he says, Yaniach Yodol Al Mezuzah V'Yomar, he's supposed to say, right, V'Shimcha Talek Leh, and whenever you leave your house, you put your hand on the mezuzah and you say, Hashem Shomri, Hashem Sili, Al Yad Yimini, Hashem Yishmor Tzeitzi Bo'i Mi'atav Yadol. And that's how the Ramah Paskins in Yerodeya Simon Reish Pei Hei, not very long Simon, right? That he writes, Sheyesh Omer Nishaksha Adam Yotzim in Habayis, when a person leaves his house, Yaniyach Yadol Mezuzah. You should just put your hand on the mezuzah and say, Be'yomar Hashem Yishmor Tzeitzi. He's saying, Kishiyanach Adam Labayis, Yaniyach Yadol Mezuzah. And you don't have to say it when you come in. Basically, it's sort of a, not necessarily a protection thing, but it's a reminder that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Take that reminder, what the mezuzah does to remind you, to do the Rav Akiva Eger writes that to put your hand on the mezuzah, he says there's no makor in shas. But I don't know why that's necessarily true, because we have it right here, the makor in shas, to put your hand on the mezuzah. You have Uncle Sager putting his hand on the mezuzah. Anyway, that's the source. The Arizal, the Birkei Yosef in Yoredei over there, he brings the Ari that he says that you neniach etzba'o hanikra ama al shem shakai akasav on mezuzah b'chutz. People write the word shakai on the outside. The Rambam talks about people put the word shakai on the inside, and he kind of calls them people don't have faith. We'll see that soon. And then vina shekena, and then you should kiss it. But you follow Hashem and daven to Hashem. So it's from the Arizal, and a lot of them hugging the Arizal have come down to that. We do comes from the Arizal to actually kiss your hand when you walk out. But the Rambam brings from the Maharil is just to touch the mezuzah when you walk out and walk in, and also to say the pasuk that I don't think most people say that. Okay, Mr. Freund is here. Okay, so what happened? So Osib Yad Allah, Amr Lahu, he says to the soldiers, My high, you know what this is? We're touching it. So Amr Lahu, they said, well, we don't know. Amr Lahu, why don't you tell us what this is? So Amr Lahu, he says, Minhag Shel Olam, the Minhag of the world is Melech Basar Adam, Yoshim Mibtim, the regular king of flesh and blood, he sits inside, you know, in the castle, surrounded by the moat, surrounded by the alligators, in this big fortified palace. He sits on the inside. And all his servants, they guard him from the outside. The Ilok Kadosh Baruch Hu, now not someone who comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Avadah Mibitnim. We all sit in the house. And he protects them with the mezuzah from the outside. Shenamar, the prophet says, Hashem Yishmor Tzeitzcha V'Olecha Me'atav Yad Olam. Hashem, not the mezuzah, but Hashem is protecting you. The mezuzah doesn't necessarily protect. Hashem is protecting you, right? The mezuzah is symbolic of the fact that Hashem is there. Protecting you. It's not whatever. I can go on to another diatribe about superstition. And they all converted, and then the Caesar learned his lesson. The Caesar stopped sending people. So it seems from here that the mezuzah provides this protection, which you have in the minhag. I don't know if you don't recall, but there was, I think it was after Entebbe, in 1976, there was a Chabad publication that came out and said that all the hostages, they had pasul mezuzah, so everybody run to their houses and make sure your mezuzahs are kosher, because otherwise you don't get the protection, and you're going to be liable to be subject to whatever. The whole idea, you know, there's an idea that's very, very prevalent, is that, you know, something bad is happening in the house, check the mezuzahs, make sure they're not pasul, because they don't have to provide you with the protection. So first of all, there's a festive kashrus on mezuzahs, if you check them every 7 years. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I don't necessarily understand. Right, I don't necessarily understand that concept. The mezuzah is not necessarily, the mezuzah doesn't provide you protection. In fact, it's not magic in the mezuzah that provides you protection. It's superstition. But Hashem provides you protection. The halacha is, you check your mezuzahs two out of every 7 years. Right, remember Rav reported once, I think every maaser on a year, you should check the mezuzah, right? So if you have a chesed kashrus, but also if you do the mitzvah and it's not good, you're an onus, Hashem's going to punish you. And that he says besides that, if the mezuzah is supposed to provide you protection, and it's a magical thing that provides you protection like that, then why do we have cases where you're putter from putting up a mezuzah? I'm in a hotel room, I have no mezuzah, I have no protection during the week I'm in the shul, there are bonnets, right? So you put it on some places. What about if I'm a renter for 30 days, you don't have to put it up. And some say even if after 30 days, it's only din d'rabbanan. I don't have the protection. I don't understand what that means. The Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah in Perek Hey Halacha Dalet, he says minhag pashut shekosen al mezuzah mibachutz. It's a minhag of the silly people that they write on the outside can there's an empty space. There's no problem. We have a lot on Amish. Also, it says Shakai on the outside. But then he quotes about Elu Shekosimbo Bifnim, those who write the word Shakai on the inside, they write Shemos Malachim, they write names of angels, of Shemos Kedoshim, of Pasuk, of Chosamos, all these types of amulet type things. Harehim Zechlal Misha Amen Chedek Olam Haba. They don't have any Chedek in the world to come. She'ilu atipshim, these foolish people, lo da'ahem she'bitlu ha'mitzvah. None of them be mivatel the mitzvah because they're not doing it appropriately, because you don't just have to put dalal parshos in there. Ela osin mitzvah gedola she'yuchu shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They take the mitzvah of the mezuzah, which is just to be miyachad shem Hashem, and to remind us of the constant protection that Hashem provides us in the world, you know, just that Hashem provides us, right? Ki'ilu hi kamiya. They make it like some sort of amulet, u'hanirat atzman, Kemosha Allah Alivam Hasecha Shashed Dabar Haman the Heavenly Ha'olam. I mean, I just quoted, he says, that it says if it's an animal to benefit themselves, since they foolishly believe that the mezuzah itself is something advantageous for the vain pleasures of this world. But the mezuzah itself provides you with it. It's not the goal of the mezuzah. So the Ramah can't say, well, what's going on in our Gemara, since it's part of providing protection. So the Ramah says two things. Number one, you can say that he's just talking to the God. What?
How do you get that from the
Gemara? Because he says, Melech Adam. But the answer is simply, that's talking about the mezuzah. He's talking about Hashem. Okay, so this is talking about Hashem. So again, so the Rambam basically chastises those who treat the religious object as though it were a magical charm. Those are people who have no share in the world to come. I told you, Menachem's nothing compared to me. The superstition is a problem. So I had this article from Rabbi Mark Angel. He used to be the rabbi of Spanish Portuguese Shul. He's also, and now his son, I think, is Chaim Angel, is the rabbi. So He goes three reasons why people believe in superstition. He goes, number one, true religion demands a lot from us, and superstition demands very little. So true religion requires that we confront God directly, where superstition offers shortcuts, ways to bypass that or inspiring confrontation with God. Pop into school, you get what you want, very easy. He also claims that superstitious practices have been sanctioned by generations. Doesn't mean anything. You have a lot of people that do these superstitious practices. Number three, it says people try to do that, you know, when people are afraid or they're desperate, they suspend their reason in order to adopt superstitious practices just in case. You know, no harm. What's the harm? Well, according to the Rambam, there's harm. You're a tipesh, elo chelik v'olam haba, you basically cheapen Judaism by these things. You know, the whole idea, the school for parnasa, the same parsha saman. It's not the same the parsha saman that's going to give you the parnasa. The school is that every time you say parsha saman, you realize and you recognize that everything is b'day shemayim. And you focus on the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that He provides everything, and you focus on the relationship between you and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the skula. Skula is not just some magical thing, all of a sudden, presto, I pop in the corner, and I put on the red band, and now nothing bad is going to happen to me. Anyway, but I digress. Okay, so, the Pasuk says, that's all it is. It's not what it is itself. The Rambam says clearly, it's not the thing itself. I think, to be fairly honest, the Gra basically says that the Rambam was fooled by philosophy, and that there's such thing as Shadim, and there's all these, it's quite possible, I don't understand how they work, but I know Rabbi Raza quoted that once, the word of Yaakov Kamenetsky, who said that, yeah, maybe in the Zman of Gemara they had Shadim, because they had Nevuah, and they had Bas Kol, so they needed a counterbalancing force. But Rabbi Yaakov says, the Zman of Zeh, we don't have that level of Kedusha, so we don't need that level of Tumah. I don't know how to answer that, but the Rambam is clear. And I think for a lot of people, it's just a problem about how they focus on the chesed as opposed to focusing on what it's supposed to mean and how you're supposed to internalize it. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem lo." Hashem said to Rivka, "Shnei goyim bivitnech. You have two nations in your heart, in your belly. Ushnei luumim ayach yiparedu, and the two nations from you are going to separate. So that's Yaakov and Esav, right? But Amar Rav Yehuda, Amarav al tikri goyim, elo geyim." What do you mean? Geyim is the important people, the chashuvim, right? It's a remes to who? Zel Antoninus v'Rebbe. It's a remes to Antoninus and to Rebbe, who we spoke about yesterday. Shelo pasku me'al shulchanam. They never had empty from their table. Lo chazeres, right? They have lo kishus, lo sinon. Nobi mosa chama, lo mosa d'shamim. I guess each one had different seasons, but whether or not it was in the fruit or vegetable was in season, they still had it. You know, they had the matanos. They still had them on their table. The Amar Mar, because Mar said, Tznon michateich ochel. Tznon, which is what? Is radishes? Mm-hmm. So, that chops up, that breaks up the food when you eat it, to make it easier to eat. The chazeres michateich ma'achal. The chazeres, it makes it, and it turns the food inside, make it easier to digest, I guess. And kishus marchiv me'ayim. And the kishus, which is gourds, I guess, so cucumbers or gourds, that expands the belly to allow you to eat more. Nowadays you don't want to constrict the belly for surgery, but the kishus expands the belly and you can eat more. So the Gemara then says, wait a second, it's here that sounds like kishuim are good for you. Why they call kishuyin? They're difficult for the body, like swords. It's not good for you. It's lokasha, depends on the type of gourd. When the Brisa said that they mazik you, that they damage you, those are big gourds. And when they don't damage you, they're good for you, those are smaller ones. So the Gemara indicates that Rebbe had all these things on his table. Tosos asks, it says, Shalom Paschal Mishukhan Tznon. No, not there. He says on the top. Oh, where is it? Yeah, the top Tosos, the third to last line, top Tosos. He says, Alpha Gav Damrina. We have a Gemara in Suvas and Kupdala that said, Sherebi lo nenem in olam afilu be'etzva katana. The Rebbe never benefited from the world, even one finger's worth of hana from olam hazeh, nevertheless. So what's going on here? He had all this food. All this wonderful food. Mikom akam ochle shulchano hayirabim. Tosos says, you know what? He didn't benefit. He's so wealthy. He had on the table and it was all for his servants and all his bnei bayis. They were the ones who benefited. So, where is this? I think the grog brings down, and nevertheless, it doesn't matter. You can still say that Rebbe was the one who had the food. But if you do everything with Shane Shemayim, it's not considered getting hanah from the Olam Hazeh. Because if you do everything with Shane Shemayim, if you're Makadish, because it's a big concept from the Tzadok, also that the whole thing is to take the Chomer in the world, to be Makadish the Chomer, that's not considered getting benefit from Olam. I mean, not getting nana from Olam. What you're doing is you're actually you're transferring the Chomer to Kedusha, and that's not all considered getting benefit by Olam Hazeh. Okay. Next. The Mishnah said, Yom HaLeida v'Yom HaMisa. Those are another holidays. It's the birthday and the death day of the king. That's what Rameyah said. But the Chum said, no, not every Misa, Yom HaMisa, is considered a holiday. Right, those that they have a Srefa, where they burn the king and they light the torch, that becomes a holiday, but the ones that they don't, that's not going to be considered. There's no avodah zarah over right there, over there. So from the fact that Rebbe doesn't make the Isser dependent on whether or not they do Srefa by their king, the Rebbe Savar, that Rebbe must hold Loshna Misa Sheish for Srefa, Loshna Misa She'ein for Srefa, Palkei b'avodah zarah. Because it doesn't make a difference whether you burn or don't burn, they always do avodah zarah. There's always avodah zarah. Alma Srefa la Pukahi. Mashra from there, that Srefa, burning the possessions of the king, is not Pukah Sagaya. Why? Because they don't do it all the time, and it's a holiday nonetheless. But it's not one of their rules, the Pukah Sagaya. Right? Rashi says, Badim Rasva Alma, Midalo Tali Rav Meir Taima Bisrefa. The burning is not the shame of Avodah Zarah. If it was the shame of Avodah Zarah, they would all do it. It's done for different reasons, but there's always Avodah Zarah anyway. It doesn't make a difference about the burning. Miklal, from that, the Chachamim argue, and they say only if there's Srefa is there Avodah Zarah. Miklal, the Rabbanu Savri, Srefa Hukahi. It's mashmah from them that the Rabbanu says, the Talu Tamayu Ba, Chasavi Hukahi Lahem. That's the rule. That they have a chuk of the goyim that if you burn, it becomes a avodah zarah, right? But if they don't do srefa, that's a simin that they didn't accept this king on them, and they won't do his make his misa until Yom Eid. Maybe he forced himself on them. They don't want him. It wasn't popular, so they're not going to deify him. That's why they didn't do it. So the Gemara basically says, so you see that according to the Rabbanon, burning the possessions of the king is chukas goyim. The Gemara says that's impossible. But Tanya, we have a brayso that we're going to see later on in a moment. Sorfim al hamalachim. We, the Jews ourselves, burn the possessions of the king upon their death. And the verse Brisa says, "V'lok dat midarkei hamori," and that's not considered darkei hamori. It's not considered chukas hagoyim. The ich chukahi. But if the sreva that the goyim do is a chok, the shame of avodah zarah, anan hechi safina. How can we possibly do that? Haksi, the pasuk says, "Bukhuk say Moshe Leichu." It's Kukas Hagoyim. It can't be Kukas Hagoyim. We'll discuss that in a minute. So what's going on here? We infer that the Chachamim say it's a Kukka, but we know that we do it ourselves. So when it says, "Ela Kulei Amos Reichu LaKukki," everyone agrees. But Meir Chachamim, burning the body is not within Kukas Hagoyim, right? Ela Chashivusi. There's another reason why they do it. It's out of din Chashivus. If the king was an important guy, was a chashiv person, then they burn it. If it wasn't so important, then they wouldn't do the burning. There's another reason. It's nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It has to do with whether or not they view this king as, you know, as important enough. V'hakav v'hakav ifli. And this is the machlokes of Rav Meir and Chachamim. Rav Meir saw v'lo shel amisa shish basreifa, lo shel amisa ein basreifa, pachi v'lo sechavim. Whether or not they're sreifa or not, they always worship Avodah Zarah on the day of the misa. Nothing to do with the sreifa. But the Chachamim say, no, Rabbanan Savri, misa sheyesh ba hasreifa, if the guy was important enough to merit being burnt, then chashvinu lu, that means that's a simon that he was such a chashav guy, and therefore palchibo, and that they're also going to do a Avodah Zarah that day. But the sheyein ba sreifa, if there was no sreifa, it's a simon, lo chashiva, he wasn't chashav enough to them, and therefore they won't do a worship of Avodah Zarah on that day. So, and this is the main sugya to learn out the concept of Kukas Hagoyim, and it starts from the Tosos. So Tosos asks, basically, I mean, I'm going to do it more outside, but there's an apparent stira between our Gemara and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that, seems to say that if the practice is not idolatrous, if it's not for Avodah Zarah, then it's mutter, right? He says here's another reason, it's not for Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to say that the heter for Darkei Amori is only if the Torah tells you you're allowed to do that. Right? Tosos asks. Tosos says, towards the middle of the Tosos, it says, Achen Kasha, Tehaka Maskina L'chuli Alma Sreifa Lav Chukahi. The Sreifa is not a Chukah, because it's for other, done for other purposes. But Hasam, there in Sanhedrin, it's Gemara Sanhedrin, not in base, Mashma the chukah hi lechula olma. It's mashma there that it is a chukah. V'habi asira, and it would have been aser ilav taima the kevah d'ksiv. It's not considered for that. It wasn't written in the Torah. So the re gives an answer. The re answer is he says that I'll do it outside. That if it's a practice for Avodah Zarah, that it's forbidden even if the Torah instructs us to do it. So let's say you have something that's mutter. The Torah tells us to do it, but now the goyim took it over as they do it with Avodah Zarah, and now it's aser for us. Tosfos Raya is building a matzeva or worshiping on a matzeva, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they always did it. But then it says, you're not allowed to build the matzeva anymore. You're not allowed to do that, because that's done the shame of Avodah Zarah. That's what Tosfos says. But if it's a non-idolatrous practice, right, then it's only mutter if the Torah instructs you to do it, which seems to be a very, very stringent shita. If the goyim doing it and we're doing it, the only time it's mutter, if it's not Avodah Zarah, is if the Torah says we're allowed to do it. Three button suits. That's the Chukas Hagoyim, to wear those things. That's Shita Tosos. Tosos says, the Kach Peiris read, there are two types of chukah. Echad she'osim l'shem chok l'avodos chachavim. One they do, dafka, for idolatry. The echad she'osim l'shem das hebel v'shtus. Like there's no reason, just shtus. V'hachla b'shmait d'mairi v'osil chok she'osim l'shem l'avodos chachavim. That it's Avodah Zarah. And Rav Meir Sabra s'reif alav chukah, he l'avodos chachavim. L'hachli parach, he chukah l'avodos chachavim. Anan hechas harfinan. But, so they say no, that it's talking about over here. It's not a towards the bottom. It's not a chok. The shame of Avodas Chachavim. It's not a chok. The shame of Avodas Chachavim. Mihu who chok hevel b'shtus. It's a chok hevel b'shtus. So therefore, if the Torah says we're allowed to burn it, and we're going to bring a pasuk in the next brisa where it's actually in the Navi where it says you do that, then you're okay about doing it. That is shitas hatosos. Then you have. And our sugya, the Sheik of the Ran, on Beis Amud Beis in this Daf Herif, he says, "Lepi shelo asr Torah elachuka shel avodas chachavim." Only if it's chukah before Avodah Zarah. Basically, he ignores the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The problem is the tension between the Gemara here and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So Tosfos tries to make them work together. The Ran, and we'll see soon the Maharik, who the Ramah basically passes, like seems to ignore the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and that's if you know the sugya, the Gra takes issue with that. And the Gemara is very machmer on Chukas Hagoyim, because how can you ignore the Gemara in Sanhedrin? You have to try to work them out. But this is what the Ran says. The Ran says, he says, Shelo asr Torah el chuko shel avodas chachavim, ilu dvarim shel hevel u'batala, v'kulon yesh ben tzorach avodas chachavim. Right? Dvarim shel tam, There's a reason for it. It's a non-idolatrous reason, or it's a reason that's not based on stupidity, then it's mutter. And by the sreifa, it's mutter. Why? Because the reason is l'kavod. It's kavod malchus. So that's why it's mutter. The Maharik is the source that we basically go by. It's Shorish Pei Ches in the Maharik. He's talking about a case. The question proposed to him was that the government, I guess in Italy, the Maharik of Ravitza Kolon, I think it was in Italy, the government made a rule that the doctors had to wear this special coat. It's almost like a lab coat. It was like a white lab, long lab coat, and that's all the doctors have to do it. So the guy asked, the doctor asked, right, the Jewish doctor, right, the Jewish doctor asked whether or not it's mutter for him to wear that, and a couple of questions he had four corners, you know, tithes issues, and round, but whatever he's chukas agoyim. So the Maharik basically says, the near stiking near the dover pashas the low usher mishum chok. The only thing that's usher for chukas agoyim, ela be'echa mishnei chalakim. Two potential reasons that can make something usher for chukas agoyim. Echad hu hadover asher ein ta'amo nigla kitamash maloshon chok. You don't know what the reason is. It doesn't make sense. So these words, it doesn't make sense. Maybe the underlying reason is because of avodah zarah. I mean, I can think of like a tree on Christmas. It was a guy. There was no reason for that.
Right.
What?
What
do you mean? Exactly. It's a say it's mutter. What do you mean? A funeral what?
Burning.
Of course. The Gemara says it's mutter. That's number one. And he says, right, and so therefore he says, if Kevon Shu Osa Dover Meshuna Shar Ein Bo Tam, there's no reason to it. Nigla Elisha Ein Noagin Kain Az Nir Vadi Nimsha Harel Motulham. It's Vodah Zarah. There's no reason for it. You understand the reason behind it. It's got to be a Vodah Zarah behind it. And there's no reason whatsoever. It's just pointless. Right? He says, the problem is more of like imitation. You want to do it because they're doing it, that's the problem. Right? He says,
no. Even the problem is that going back to our work, there's a reason for it. But once there was a reason, they added to it.
No, but the Maharik is talking about reasons that are usher. What would make it usher? We'll make it us if there's no reason for what the Goyim do, and we want to do it also. So if we want to imitate them for something that has no reason, that's a problem. And if the second thing is the Inyan Shani, Yishla Asur, Yisham Kukas Agoyim, the Fiyah Niska, and Yisaki, with Dabar Shashaifo, and not Nidmud Kritzis, Yedder Atsnius Vanova. If it's something that's done that, you know, for Kritzis purposes. So I heard someone once say, I'm not fasting, because I can't fast him, maybe cologne might be an issue. Why do people wear cologne? Maybe it's a priestess. I don't necessarily think that's true. Maybe people just want to smell good. But a lot of times people get dressed up and they go to a bar, they go some places, it's for attractiveness purposes. That might be a problem for Kukas Agoyim. I heard that. I don't remember who said it, but that's fine. They says, bottom line is, he says, you can wear this coat because there's a logical reason behind it to distinguish the doctors from everybody else, to know who's who. It makes sense. There's a good reason behind it. That's the Maharik. And Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea Kuf Ayin Fes Aleph, first, the Mechaber quotes Ein Holkim the Chukas Chavim. You can't go like the Zayim. He quotes the Rambam, and then the Ramban adds Eli moved on my hand with Mavusha b'Shar Ma'aseh. You have to be different from them, which is clear, right? The Cholza Einu Aser Ela B'Davar Shenahagu Bo Avodas Chachavim Shem Pritzus. Sounds like the Maharik. Begun Shenahagu Lilbosh Mavusha Adum Adomin Red Clothing. B'Hu Malbush Sorin. That's the Malbush of the ministers. Adomin Zel Mavusha Ha Pritzus. Oh, the Dover Shenahu, or that's number two for the Maharik, number one for the Ramah. Oh, the Dover Shenahu, the Minhag, the Lechok, the Ain Tom, the Dover. There's no logical reason behind it. The Ikulamechas being Mishim Darki Amore, the Shiish Vashemet of Osachavim. There's a problem with that. So the whole thing came up in Eretz Yisrael. Every year you have the problem, the siren on Memorial Day. Chukas Agoyim. Every year you'll have a picture of some self righteous Haredi running through the street screaming while the siren is going on. Question is that Chukas Agoyim? It's a legitimate question. I mean, even if it is Chukas Agoyim, you don't have to run through the streets. Is it Chukas Agoyim? What? Sure, yeah. Moment of silence, sirens. Yeah, you have that. It's not a Jewish practice. But it's a Chukas Agoyim. So the those who approve it say there's a reason for it. It's for cover of the mace. It's not for stam no reason. What? There's a reason for it. And you know what the reason is. It's not preachers. So it's according to the Maharik. It should be okay. But the Gra argues. The Grub basically left the first, and the Maharik also says it, right? And then he quotes the case of this cloak. And that's why, and it says also, that's why you can burn the kings, and there's no Mishum Daki Amori, because there's a reason, it's in Kavod. The Grub argues, he says, I don't understand. All these things, we come back to the Maharik Sanhedrin. The Maharik Sanhedrin basically said that it has to be, the Maharik Sanhedrin basically said that even if there's a reason, it's a problem, because if the Goyim do it, But he says, he has a reason. He says, only if we would do it, we would have done it without the Goyim doing it. Then it's mutter. That's pretty subjective. But I think certain fashion things can fall into that statement. We don't necessarily wear things because the Goyim wear things. I mean, if you do, you know, I want to be like Mike, that might be a problem. But if you do, but if you wear the suits, like certain of the high fashion suits, because that's what's sold in the stores, I mean, who says that they're making suits for doctor for the Goyim? They're making suits for everybody. The Jews are part of that clientele. So maybe that would be mutter. There's one halachic ramifications. They talk about putting flowers in the shul on Sukkot. That's a lot of people do that. But the Gra says the shul is ain lahan in Milanos. He says it's Kukas HaGoyim to put the flowers. What?
We know.
Oh yeah, we had that issue come up. It's in the Maaser Rav, the Chai Adam and the Chachmas Adam also he quotes that. He said that the Gra was Ravasa that Minog. That's just a little taste of the sugya. Now we're gonna have to fly. Okay. Gufa. So now we have our case. Sorfim al hamalachim. We burn for the kings of the Jewish kings. The ain bo mishum darkei morim. It's not kugas agoyim. Shena mar. Because the pasuk says, and this is what Tosfos says. It says in the pasuk. This is talking about when Yirmiyahu tells the Tzidkiyo, Yekosh shakom Hashem alecha lo samus becherev b'shalom tamus. You die in peace. Ubimisrefos avosech hamalachim. You're going to get burned like that. Ubimisrefos avosech hamalachim arishonim. Asher hayu panecha kain yisru lachalach. They're going to burn your stuff as well. Tili not darkei morim. Ukishen shesof from Malachim, just like he burned for the kings, kachsof from the Nesiim, you know, the Nesiim gets his hit, not the person himself, but the possessions get burned. Umahim sof from Malachim, what do they burn? Mikasan, his bed, uklit hashmishon, and all his the utensils that he used. Umaisis shenes Rabbi Gamliel died. The sarf alav unklus hager shivim monotsuri, and unklus hager burnt 70 pieces of coin of his gold, monotsuri. So Gemara asks, wait a second, Bar Marta. Wouldn't you just say Mahim Sofer Malay and Mikasal Klit Hashmishan? You burn their bed and the Klit Hashmish. Was it? So you don't burn the currency. So Ema Bish Shivim Monitsuri. What he burnt was valued at Shivim Monitsuri. Okay. For me, definitely low, and we don't burn anything else, right? But Tanya, we have a Bryson that says Okrin Al Malachim. What they would do is the sus, the horse, or the animal that the king would ride on. They would sort of like cut the ligaments in the back of the leg so that it could never be used for somebody else. It wouldn't be riding the malacha. But Tosos says, wait a second, what's going on here? Why is that not tzar ben etayin? Why is that that baltashas? It's not baltashas because there's a purpose to it. The purpose is because of the cover of the king. And the name of the cover of the king, Tosos tzar ben etayin. Tosos Okrin, he says, in Tomar, amai lo parif ahit tzar ben etayin. Ki the parif l'kamon, gabi, right? He says, elahavi kamul... Right, so he says, the Yeshalom Vashani Kabul Melach, who Kabul Kol Yisrael. That's a problem, it's not a problem. And then what about Baltashkas? Also, it's not Baltashkas because of the Kabul of the king. Fine. So, the Abel Mishum Darkei Mori, you gotta cut this off, it's not Darkei Mori. And Amara Papa, right, so the question basically is we don't destroy anything else. Basically, we're destroying, we're not burning it, but we're destroying the horse. Amara Papa Susha Rachavala. No, it is his kelim because it's the sus that he rode. So that's his kli. Ubehema Torah lo. But what about an animal? A sus is behema tmeya. What about behema Torah? We don't do nikor. We don't cut off the ligaments. Vatanya ikor sheish b'treifa. If you do an ikor that's going to cause the animal to become a treifa, then it's aser. But ikur she'im b'treifa, but ikur that won't cause the animal to become a treifa, then it's mutter. The ezu ikur she'im b'treifa. What's an ikur that doesn't have treifa? Haminasher parso seha min ahar kuba lumata. I think you cut the back of the hind legs from the big bone down to the body, or something like that. I don't know. You cut certain parts. But you see here, what we're talking about? We're talking about a behemoth tohora. Because if it wasn't a behemoth tohora, we're talking about making, who cares about making a treifa or not making a treifa? We'll make a difference. It came to the animal anyway. If you tell me it's only the sus, talking about also other animals. And he doesn't ride other animals. So it's not a kli of the king. The Gemara says, Tigmar Papa, the Egla Moshechas Pekaron. Now we're talking about some sort of like wagon that was pulled, I guess, by cows or by oxen or something like that. And that's also considered this kalim, and therefore those are also destroyed. The Mishnah said, another bunch of other holidays is Yom Tiglachas Zikno. The day that he shaved off his beard, ublorius so, right? And the blorius was like a ponytail, right? That they used to grow for avodah zarah. The Gemara wants to know whether Yom Tiglachas Zikno ublorius so, is that the same day or two different days? So you boil who? Hechatani. What's the Mishnah talking about? Yom Tiglachas Zikanov Anachas Glory So, meaning the day that he shaves his beard and shaves the ponytail the same day, or is it Odilma Yom Tiglachas Bino V'Havars Glory So? Meaning they're two separate days. The day that he shaves his beard is one day, and the day that he takes off his glorious is another day. Maybe it's two separate days or one day. So Tashma, then the Raya, the Tanya Tarvayu, right, the Brisa lists both of them. It says, Yom Tiglachas Zekano, the Hanachas Glory So, Yom Tiglachas Zekano, Bavar's Glory So. In other words, there's one day, there's a day that he grows the ponytail, and the day that he takes it off. It's all two separate days, right? Uglorious So means, the Yom Glorioso means the day that he starts growing the ponytail, which takes place on the day that he shaves his beard. It also means the day that he takes off the ponytail. So two separate days. I think that's what he says. I don't know if I got that right. Okay. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Oda Cheresh Yesh Lam Roman. There's another holiday that the Romans have, right? And it takes place every 70 years. Number 70 is reminiscent of the 70 years of the Golos Rishon. So every 70 years they basically terrorize the Jews by saying 70 years came and went and you guys are still here. I did a search online to try to find what this holiday was. I couldn't find it. Like in the pop websites about Roman and pagan holidays. So Oda Cheresh Yesh Lam Baromi Echol Shivim Shana Mevim Adam Shalim. They bring this perfect person who's perfect, meaning he doesn't have a new one, right? Umar Kivin also al Adam Chiger, and they put him on top of a blind person, right? Not a blind person, part of a limping person. That's a remnant to Yaakov, who had his thigh hit and he limped. Umalbishin also, and they take the perfect person, the Adam Shalim, the big day Adam Rishon, on the clothing of Adam Rishon. If you know the Medrash, that piece of clothing came down to Esau. Nimrod got it, and he killed Nimrod, and he took it. So Esau had it. So the Romans had it. The Umalbishin, big day Adam Rishon. Umanichalo berosho karkpulo to Rabbi Shmuel, and they put on his head as a mask. The face of Rabbi Shmuel. Remember the story that Ezra said, Rabbi Yamazos, Rabbi Shmuel was beautiful, and the daughter of the kingdom wanted to kill him, so instead, she just saved his, they peeled off his face, and they saved it. And they put that on him, like a mask. Matkal Abrazuze. And they put around his neck, like this very, like very fancy stone, alright, that weighs 4 zuz, I guess. And they pave the roads of Rome with all these fancy stones. Umachrizin lefonov, and they call out before the skier, the limping guy. They call out before him, sach kiri, right? Meaning basically the cheshbon of this zeh, right? What's the death? Plaster, right? I don't know what that means. Look at what he said. Achudim, look. In other words, his cheshbon was that in the future, Bnei Yisrael will get geula. What happened to that nevuah? What's going on here? He's a plaster. He's wrong, right? This is the brother, the forger, basically. He's the thief. He stole the Bechora. Whoever sees this, sees it. Whoever doesn't see it, won't see it. If it only happens 70 years, you may not ever see it. You may die before this festival took place. And my Ahani L'Ramav Ramuse was a final Vizayfanuse. What value came from his Ramos, from his trickery, and from his falsehood? The Brachos didn't happen to him. It happened to us. Look, we're on top. But at the end they say, I mean, I don't know who says this, Vayla din kajokum dein, that oi to us, woe to us, when Yaakov takes over in Achas HaYomim. Like, they know that, why are they doing this whole thing? Okay. So Amar Rav Ishi, from Ashi, Rashi says, Yichshivim pim rishoyim. Even what they say is silly, because they basically, their macher is in a way that talks about their gemus, because I Amru, if they said, Zaitna achur demarana, this is the forging brother. This is the brother. This guy. He's the forger. Right? Yaakov's Esav, right? Kidika Amri. But Hashta the Amri Demarana Zaifna. They say Achua Demarana Zaifa. So the Zaifa can be describing Maran as well. They may not be describing the brother. Demarana is Esav. Marana Gupe Zaifna. Their master themselves, Esav, is the I guess is the fraud. Betana Didan. And our Mishnah says My Tama Loka Kashivla. Why doesn't our Mishnah include this in its list of holidays, right? The Isa B'chol Shatav Shatav Chashiv, the Leitz B'chol Shatav Shatav Lo Chashiv. There's a list of holidays that occur every year. It doesn't list the holidays that occur not every year, or every 70 years. So, Hani de Romoi, these are the holidays, the Roman holidays that the Mishnah listed. So therefore, they're only us with the B'nai Romi. But there were other pagans throughout the times of the Amoraim. what holidays are those? Ude Parsoy Mai, what are the Persian holidays? Mutridi, Turaski, Moharti, and Moharim. Okay, so Hani the Parsoy Dromoi. Devavloy Mai, I don't know what they are. I don't know if he translates them or not. What are the holidays of the Babylonians? Moharniki, Va'ach Nisaya, Uva Chanuni, V'Esser Ba'Other. And you're the other. That's also a holiday for them. Okay? Amar of Chanan, Rav Chizda, Amarav, Amrila, Amar of Chanan Bar Rava, Amarav, Rav says, Hamisha, Batei Avosu Chavim Kuhin. They have five set temples. They have five temples that are always turning out the Avodah Zarah. They're worshiping there every day. The Elohim, what are they? Beis Bel B'Bavel, the house of Bel in Bavel. Beis Nebo B'Kursi, the Beis Nebo in the city of Kursi. Tar Ta is in the city of Mapag. And Srifa Sheba Ashkelon, the Srifa is in the city of Ashkelon. And Nishra the Aravia. And Nishra is in the land of Aravia, which I don't know what that is. Maybe that's Mecca. Maybe that's the stone. Nishra Aravia. But that doesn't. Maybe that's the place. I don't know. He quotes over here in the Aruch. Perish Vashem Gaon Sheish Va'oso Bayis Eben Chakuka Va'obinla. They worship the stone. And he says that maybe that's the Eben in the stone in Mecca. Okay. And the Eshkol, it's weird because the Rambam doesn't hold it. The Muslims are over Avodah Zarah. He quotes here the Sefer Eshkol that the Yishma'evim Shebizmaneinu Nechshavim Avodah Zarah, even though they don't think that they are. Maybe because they worship the prophet more than they worship God. I don't know. That doesn't seem to be. Well, that's not the Rambam. Okay. He also Rabdimi, when Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, right? The Chachamim Amar, he said, no, sorry, Rabdimi, Hosifu Aleihem Yerid Shebein Bethi. They added another house of worship, it's Yerid in this town of Ein Bethi, and Nidvacha in Ba'ako. Right? And Ikad Ami, some say it's Nizbara Sheba'ako. So the other way around, Yerid is in Akko and Bacha is in Bechi. Okay. Amalei Rechanan Brachitor Rechizda My Kibun Hein. What does it mean that the Kibun Hein? So what's the difference? What's the halachic? Hey, you told me a nice fact. What's every fact has to have a halachic purpose. What's the halachic reason? What comes out in the Atapi Din? So Amalei Hafi Amar Avu Di'imach. This is what the father of your mother said. Your grandfather said Kibun Hein La'olam Utadira Kula Shaita Pasilu. They're always there, and they're always worshiping, every day. So you can't do business there ever. You can't go into those towns and do business there, because they're always worshiping. It's a temple. Okay, the Mishnah said that the Chacham said that you're not allowed to visit the Goyim 3 days before their holiday. Shmuel says, now we're going to come and say, not every place is the same. Amar Shmuel, Begola, outside of Eretz Yisrael, where the Avodah Chacham are really not Avodah Zarah, they just do Minhag HaBasayim B'Yadayim, only the day of the holiday itself is Usr, which would mean that even though some of these places listed above are outside Eretz Yisrael, still makes sense, because Yom Eid is Usr, and every day is a Yom Eid in those places. So Gemara says, the Yom Eidim Nami Mi Asir. Why is the day itself also Usr? Behold, Rav Yehuda Sharilei, the Rav Brona Lezuni Chamra, didn't Rav Yehuda allow Rav Brona to sell wine, the Rav Yidil Azabune Chitim, and Rav Brona to sell wheat, on the day of some sort of holiday of these merchants. So he says, Shani Chakta the Tai, Hilo Kivya. No, that's different because that doesn't have a set day. It's not a set day, it's sort of like a floating holiday. And some years they don't do it. So maybe he gave them to, even on those days that I guess he allowed them to do that, it's not usher because they're not so stuck to the Avodah Zarah, because if they were stuck with the Avodah Zarah so much, then they would do it all the time. So clearly here, it's not such an important holiday, and therefore he allows to do it. Okay, we will stop here.